You're listening to episode 354 of the Building Psychological Strength podcast. I'm your host, Dr. April Seifert. On this podcast, we uncover the information, tools, and techniques to turn our mind into our most valuable asset. Hello, hello, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. My name is Dr. April, and I'm happy you're here. You know, we've been through a lot recently. I feel like I could start every episode saying that, and I feel like maybe I kind of do because it has. It's been a lot. But one of the things that is becoming much more prolific in the media, in our conversations, in other things, is the topic of burnout. I mean, flat out, when you go through a stressful situation, burnout is a risk. When we pile on, when the things that have been familiar or predictable or reliable in the past fall apart, burnout is a risk. And so what we're seeing in a lot of different professional contexts and also in our personal lives is that people are feeling pretty stinking burnt out these days. And that's the reason why I was so excited to have this week's guest on the show, because we're diving deep into that topic, not only the topic of burnout, but what precedes it. So what do we do to recognize that we're marching down the path of becoming burnt out before it actually happens, things that we can do about it before it actually happens, and how to recognize some of those signs and symptoms that may indicate that an ask or a request or a responsibility that's coming from someone else might not be the right one for us. So it's going to be an incredible conversation where we talk about burnout, we talk about boundaries, we talk about needs, we talk about communication, we talk about our own behavioral habits and the things that play into it. It's really great. This week's guest is Dr. Cassandra LeClaire. She's a communications and relationships expert, motivator, author, and podcaster. She has a PhD in communication studies, and she specializes in women's and gender studies. Cassandra is an expert on communicating feelings, setting boundaries, and improving connections. She enables high-achieving women to gain an understanding of their identity and communication practices to improve their relationships with friends and family in the workplace and beyond. So her background is in communications, which is such a nuanced and important field and really nestles nicely alongside psychology. There's so much in common with these fields. And in particular, her work with working with women, there's just a very unique way that we are socialized to be even more susceptible to a lot of the issues that we're going to be talking about in this episode. So if you are feeling like the stress is piling on, if you're starting to feel like you're marching down that path of burnout, or if you know someone who is, this episode is for you. So please nestle in and let's meet Dr. Cassandra LeClaire. Dr. Cassandra LeClaire, I'm so happy that you are joining us for this episode, because the topics we're going to be discussing today, they are just ones that I think everyone needs to hear right now. So thanks so much for being with us.
I'm really excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, we were chatting a bit before we hit the record button, and we were talking about this ugly B word that we hear in conversations with work colleagues, with friends, we see it on the media, and that word is burnout. It's something that we know is increasingly being experienced by more and more people professionally and in other places. And because of your work, this is exactly the right time that people need to be hearing about it. So as we get started, I'm wondering if we can just start from some of the basics and talk a little bit about what burnout is and how we might recognize it in ourselves.
Oh, well, I'm here definitely to talk about burnout anytime, because I do think it's such a huge problem for us across multiple areas in our life. And a lot of times we don't even recognize that that's happening. So, you know, when we think about burnout, a lot of times we think about being so frantic and so overwhelmed, and that stress, that ball of stress that kind of just lives inside of our body and we can't get rid of it no matter what happens. And we stop feeling like there's a way out of it. So when we're burnt out, we fail to like even think about other ways that we could improve our life sometimes, or else we go the opposite way and we start daydreaming about all the ways that we want our life to change. Because ultimately what's happening is we're so stressed that we're shutting down with where we are. And so really getting people to recognize those kind of signs sooner and those symptoms and the things that are happening so that we're not to that very end stage of feeling like there is no way out or there is no hope for us or that this is just how life is.
That is so important. I love the preventive approach and the preventive way that you think about this, because it's not something that we hear about from people very often. I mean, we kind of hear about the bookends of the continuum. We hear a lot about burnout. We hear a lot about, like, it tends to fall under the titles of like stress management and things mm-hmm. like that. But it's pretty rare for somebody to connect the two to say these precursors are yeah. what led you to the point of feeling the, you know, the effects of burnout.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that so often too, we are in a very busy society. So many of us have, you know, multiple things going on, and we also kind of play that busy game where it's almost like, yeah. you know, a competition to talk about how many things we have going on, or if somebody else brings it up, then we have to give a laundry list of all of our own activities. And so burnout is more than just feeling busy or overwhelmed. It actually has those physical and psychological symptoms that can really impact all these other areas of our life. You know, not only feeling the energy depletion, not only feeling the negativity or cynicism, but also just feeling, again, it takes away kind of some of our hopefulness in so many ways mm-hmm. too. So really being able to recognize that before it happens, it's difficult. And so this is why, you know, people get to that end stage or to those more dire points of burnout and do feel helpless and feel like they've put themselves there because they should have been able to stop it. So then on top of the burnout, we have shame and guilt over our choices, which doesn't help anything.
Oh man, we are just, sometimes I think about us as a species, I'm like, God, we're adorable. We're working so hard. And sometimes we are our own worst enemy. I want to go to that, those early stages for a second and drill in there, because lots of us have had the experience of feeling burnt out. I mean, being at that place where we're like, I am done. I cannot take one more thing. Mm-hmm. And when we're in that position, we have the benefit of hindsight. We can look back and we can say, okay, I can kind of see how I got myself here, like, or not even how I got myself, but how I ended up here. I can see how that's mm-hmm. possible. But when we're in those early stages, mm-hmm. it's almost hard to recognize because we don't have the benefit of hindsight. Why is it hard for us to realize that things are becoming too much or that we're going in the direction of burnout?
I think for some of us, it's because we continually take on more and more in a lot of different areas of our life that is normalized. And so we don't stop to recognize and really ask ourselves, should I be saying yes to this? Should I take this on? In what ways is this going to impact me down the road? And we fail to kind of see the ways that things can compound and add to our stress over time. And so a lot of this goes back to learning your boundaries and understanding what's going on in your body so that you can kind of have some foresight to see like what could happen to you, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I mean, it's funny because we talk a lot on the podcast about in a lot of spaces, it's called, you know, your comfort zone, the stuff that mm-hmm. that you do all the time. But I actually like the word familiarity zone, because a lot of times it's not comfortable. The stuff that you do all the time and are accustomed to, it's just familiar to you. And those early stages of burnout, the busyness, the feeling like we don't have any spaciousness in our schedule mm-hmm. or flexibility or time, if something surprising or unexpected were to come up and require us to pay attention to it, we run with such narrow margins the way it is. And that becomes so familiar that when we don't, and I think we're going to get to some ways, boundaries and other things, but when we don't, when we actually do give ourselves space, it's mm-hmm. almost uncomfortable. We feel like we're doing something wrong sometimes mm-hmm. because we're supporting ourselves in that way. Have you noticed that?
I have. And I think it's so interesting too, because one of the best ways to prevent burnout is to give yourself that space, is to really be able to decompress a little bit. Because oftentimes when we feel burnout kind of creeping in, it starts as maybe like a lack of motivation. It starts where we feel like we just don't have the capacity to maybe even listen to our loved ones. It starts as like, oh, you know, I'm just too tired to go work out today, so I'm not going to, you know, kind of some of those little day-to-day symptoms that if we can start to recognize them a little bit, I think it's our body's way of trying to give us those nudges. Like, hey, you don't feel like doing some of these things that you usually are okay with, and it's because we're tired right now. So one of the ways to combat that, you know, not tired, like just necessarily physical exhaustion, but just again, like you're saying, giving yourself that space so that then you can feel like you can take a breath, so that you can feel like you can go forward or listen to people or have more motivation or what have you. But we are taking on so many roles, or we feel like we have to fill up our schedule so frequently. Or for a lot of us, when you are juggling multiple roles, you truly don't feel that there is space in your schedule. You know, the number of people who tell me like, I just don't have time. There is no time, you know, so even that space and mentally for yourself then adds to that feeling of burnout, adds to that feeling of stress. So figuring out how you can just take a little space for yourself is such a huge component in this idea of recognizing burnout before it gets to those end stages.
That's so good. You mentioned another amazing B word a minute ago. You mentioned boundaries. Give us a good definition there, because boundaries feel like, they feel like almost a two-sided coin. Like on one side, like, gosh, wouldn't that be nice? And on the other side, you feel like, wow, I'm a jerk. When you actually put some up. Talk to me a little bit about how you think about boundaries and the importance of them, especially in the context of this burnout conversation we're having.
You know, I mean, I don't think you can have a conversation about burnout without really talking about boundaries, because burnout is a boundary issue. I mean, that is basically how we talk about it and describe it. So when I talk about boundaries, just a baseline, and I want to encourage everyone who's listening, you know, this is a conversation you can have with even your children. If you have children, I've gone into elementary schools and talked to kids about boundaries, because really what it is if you think about it in terms of your yes and your no. So my yes and my no for whatever that is, you know, in relationships, at work, for my physical body, for my mental health. And when you think about it that way, it also can help you conceptualize the fact that everybody's boundaries are different. So what is my yes might not be your yes. And so if we're in a relationship, we need to have a conversation and talk about, negotiate what that is, because otherwise we might have conflict or what have you, because we think that, you know, we're coming from the same place, that we have the same yes, or that we have the same no. So really thinking about boundaries, like energetically, like this is how we also work to protect our energy, by honoring what our yes and what our no is, and not extending that or going beyond that, so we feel depleted and burnt out.
Mm-hmm. It feels like there's a contextual nature to it too, not only an individual one where my yes and no might be different than yours, but in different contexts, I might have the energy or capacity or desire to do something, but not in others. Do you find that this is kind of it almost feels like there's chronic boundaries, like ones that you're like, no, I'm just never, that's just a permanent no for me. And then ones that are more ongoing and acute that might ebb and flow with how we're feeling or the context or what's going on at the moment.
Absolutely. And this is another reason why they're difficult for people, because a lot of times we don't even recognize our own boundaries until they're kind of crossed. And then once they're crossed and we're activated, or we're frustrated or resentful or stressed or whatever it is, then we try to set a boundary, or then we tell somebody something and it doesn't always come out the right way, the way we want it to. So then again, back to the fact that then that's where we have that shame or that guilt, or I'm such a jerk, or I shouldn't have said it that way. So this is where too, like really being able to step back and give yourself space and to think about what some of your boundaries look like before you get to that stage, right? Or if you've gotten to that stage where it's like, I didn't know that was a boundary, but I sure do now. you know, like really even thinking about, okay, so I felt stress in that situation. It's clear I need a boundary here. What does that boundary look like for me? And, you know, even before you're working to set boundaries with other people, trying to identify yourself for yourself first, like what are these boundaries and what do they feel like? So you brought up a good point too. Like not only are they different across contexts, but they can be different with different people. I have friends who I absolutely have to have boundaries surrounding maybe the topics that we talk about, or sometimes it's surrounding the amount of space I can give somebody to listen, because I can't, you know, take on too much from somebody else if I'm not also taking care of myself. And so really even understanding that it can be about different with different people. It can be different times of day. It can be different seasons of your life. It can be, you know, just there are so many variables. And so thinking about boundaries, I like to think about them almost like a rubber bands. If you have ever seen a bag of rubber bands, like at the store, there's usually various sizes. Some are thick, some are skinny, some are small, some are big. And so if you think about those rubber bands, you know, they're flexible, right? So they change shapes. And it's not until really you pull too tight that maybe they start to get those cracks in it, or they're going to snap. And so everybody's rubber band is different, but you are also full of different rubber bands, really. I know that's kind of a weird analogy, but I really like that idea that you have flexibility within your boundaries. They're not always going to be the same. Sometimes with relational partners, it is a negotiation so that you can both have your needs met. But before you can really enter into those spaces, thinking about what this looks like for you across different contexts. And to get to that point, you know, it's twofold. We can look at the areas where we've been stressed. We can look at the things that haven't gone well for us and think, okay, this is where I'd like to try to set a boundary differently. But we can also then, to kind of make it a positive space, we can think about the times where we've set good boundaries or where it has felt good to us and really think, okay, I set a boundary here and that made me feel good. And this is what happened. So to remind ourselves too, that it doesn't have to be this scary negative thing that comes out of a place of stress and anger or frustration.
That's so good. There's something embedded in what you said too, that I want to make sure that we like point directly at, because it's so powerful. The permission you just gave people in the way that you described that, I'm going to use two very taboo words that people tend to prickle at and think that this isn't okay, but you just gave permission for people to be unfair and inconsistent, meaning just because I said yes to the same thing yesterday doesn't mean I'm feeling it now. And so inconsistent, and that's fine. And also, quote unquote, unfair, meaning yes, I'm available and happy and have the energy to do that with that person, but not with this other person.
Yeah.
You know, like we strive so much to try to appear as though we are logical and consistent and fair and stable and blah, 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 all those things. And it gets in the way of us doing what you just said and really feeling in this moment, like, I don't know, do I actually have the energy for that with that person? Because if I'm being honest, it's no.
Exactly. And I think that that's the thing. We're so worried about the perceptions of other people. And that's where just really reminding people too. And I have to remind these things to myself all the time. So again, I just want everybody to know that this is a work in progress. These are not easy concepts, even though they sound really simple, is reminding yourself that other people's reactions to your boundaries, those are their feelings.
Yeah.
And their feelings don't get to dictate your boundaries. And now, of course, if you're in a relationship with people or you're having that negotiation of boundaries too, but this is where they have to be clear on their own needs and their own boundaries and really being able to talk about, okay, your boundary's over here, mine's completely opposite, but if we're going to be in a relationship together, what does the boundary look like for us together? How can we create a different space for ourselves so we're not having that turbulence or that conflict or what have you? But really being able to recognize too that you might have to sit in some of those uncomfortable spaces where you're going to put up a boundary and that's going to not feel good at first, or that's not going to feel okay to you, or you're going to worry about what the other person says or what they're thinking about you. But then understanding what is the long-term effect of that boundary. Okay. So if we don't set the boundary, a lot of times then we're the ones that suffer. You know, we have resentment, we have frustration, we go on this path of burnout because we've overextended ourselves. So we're willing to put ourselves in that state because we don't want to say no to something else. We don't want to hurt somebody else. So I always ask people, you know, I had to get this point for myself too. It's like, why am I so okay with self-harm? Why am I so okay to put myself on that path and that trajectory? instead of being able to really, it's vulnerability too, really being able to be honest with somebody about where I'm at, really being able to set that space for myself and know that I am worthy of setting that boundary, as opposed to worrying about somebody else's feelings or what's going to fall apart at work if I don't do that next project or whatever it is, right? But taking it back to, what are the long-term effects for you? And this is where it does tie into burnout so much, because if we don't start there, we keep accepting things and we think everything's going to be okay. And then that's when they pile up, and then we're burnt out.
Yeah. And what I love that you touched on there as well is we had an episode on this a while back. I'll link to it in the show notes, but it was basically ways that we cultivate a relationship with ourselves, because in the same way that we have relationships with other people that are based on trust and empathy and compassion, we have that same relationship with ourselves. And when we're constantly sending ourselves the message, sorry, you're not important enough, that other person is more important than you. Nope, still not important enough, that other person is more important than you. Nope, your feelings, your thoughts, your energy, your needs, not important enough, that other person is more important than you. It just degrades the trust and, I mean, truly the relationship that we have with ourselves. And what you're saying is these things should be there to absolutely protect that and be a strong signal to you that you are your own advocate, that you can trust yourself and that you're compassionate with yourself.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, it's hard because so often we feel those things and we maybe want to set the boundary, but we think we can't because we've already established, well, I've already been this thing for this person. You know, it's like what you're saying, giving yourself permission to be now inconsistent or to change things. And unfortunately too, most of us have had those situations where we've set a boundary and it didn't go well. So also recognizing that there are spaces where, especially if somebody has benefited from you not having boundaries, they aren't necessarily going to be happy with you, you know? So really, even for me, a lot of this, because I do have discomfort with, I'm a reformed or always reforming people pleaser. I really enjoy making other people feel comfortable and being helpful. So sometimes for me, it's not even that I'm saying no to things that I don't like or don't want to do, but it's recognizing the ways I say yes to other people because I get excited or I want to help them or what have you. And again, really bringing it back to myself and understanding, what is this going to do to me going forward? And how can I honor myself in that and give myself permission to disappoint other people? How can I give myself permission? And a lot of times, you know, we think we're disappointing other people so much, or we think we're upsetting them so much. But even if you can, you know, depending on the type of relationship, if you can have an honest conversation about people, why you're setting the boundaries, or with people, why you're setting the boundaries, I have found more often than not, it's actually really helpful for the other person too, because it helps them understand, like, oh, hey, well, maybe I need boundaries over here, or I hadn't thought about it in that way. And so this is where too, really being able to think about what these things look like for you before you kind of get in that space where you have to do it can be so helpful. Because again, as a reforming people pleaser, I, in the moment, even if I know I need to set the boundary, in the moment, my nervous system goes haywire and I have to fight the urge to not set the boundary. Yeah. I do still, and I'm conditioned to be that way. So a lot of us too, recognizing that that just might be happening for you. And that doesn't mean, oh gosh, I shouldn't set this boundary, or oh, I'm a terrible person. It's that you've been in that space and that's just your habits and your patterns too, but you can create new habits and new patterns that you will adapt to, and other people in your life will adapt to as well, or that relationship will shift and become something different.
I want to get to behavioral habits and patterns in one second, but there's one topic that you mentioned just a bit ago that I want to make sure that we hit as well. And that is uncovering and understanding what our own needs are and then articulating to other people, you know, what those needs are. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like how we uncover what it is that we need and then how we express that to other people?
Oh, absolutely. And this is something, you know, I had the benefit of being able to teach this across different college classes for so many years. And the coolest thing about that, and why I'm saying that, what I really want to encourage people is when you start to think about your needs and start to think about what this looks like for you in relationships, you have a different understanding of how you want other people to show up for you and how you show up for other people. So instead of thinking about needs as something like, oh, I'm so needy, or I have all these expectations, or I have all these desires, start to think about needs in terms of how, what makes you feel seen, heard, and valued? What makes you feel loved? And I think that that's so important, because needs have such a bad rep anyway. You know, oh, they're needy. And here's the deal. We're all needy. We just have different needs. And when somebody's needs aren't the same as ours, we tend to label them as needy because it's a need we don't understand or that we don't personally have. So again, recognizing that people's needs are, you know, we're trying to teach people how we want to be loved, how we want to be seen, how we want to be valued. And that is just like boundaries are different for everybody. Needs are different for people too. So really being able to then also, not for yourself, but for other people, look at other people and honor their needs from where they're coming from and what they're talking to you about, as opposed to projecting what your needs are and trying to get them to have the same needs as you.
Awesome. So helpful. I want to talk about behavioral patterns now. This is a tough topic for people to hear, but tell us what you mean by behavioral patterns and the role that they play in this whole cycle of burnout and boundaries and et cetera that we've been talking about.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, our brains love to get comfortable, right? And so, I mean, that's like our brain's job, is to keep us safe and to keep us comfortable, right? And so the more that we're engaging in something, the more that we're doing something, that becomes the norm, that becomes the routine. And for so many of us, these routine patterns that we have that now lead to burnout in adulthood, or especially in these spaces where there's so much uncertainty, it's because we haven't been taught to recognize our needs or set boundaries. So for me, like the pattern, the breaking of patterns was something that I really had to pay attention to for this boundary setting and for burnout, because it's really easy otherwise to get caught up in the external factors, right? Like, oh, when I get a vacation, I'll feel less stressed, or, oh, if I make more money, my life will be better. Or if I just had help over here. And that honestly can feel really helpless sometimes too, right? Or you're like, you're chasing the next thing. So instead, really looking at, okay, where are my patterns and what can I maybe do to infuse new patterns? And the thing I want to say here too is, like, for a lot of people, when you're looking at your patterns, they're like, well, what does that mean? I had to take notes for myself. I had to actually start jotting down like patterns of how I was feeling and things that I was doing, or behaviors, or why do I feel upset in this space? And what that can do, you know, unfortunately for people too, is when we start to see some of our patterns, again, I know I've brought up shame a lot, but it's such a huge space for so many of us where we take on this ownership of, oh my gosh, I did do all this wrong and now I need to be better. And, you know, it's like, I want to really encourage people instead to also look at it in terms of, okay, these are my patterns, but here are all these ways that I can create new patterns. And here are other times that I've done this before. And so the thing with, you know, how I brought up the brain earlier and everything too, is so often, so even bringing it back to like the saying yes to people. So when somebody asks me to volunteer for something, my immediate physical and mental response is to say yes. Like in my body, I actually get excited. I'm like, okay, yes, because I'm going to help somebody. And that makes me feel good. So I have to breathe and slow down my body before I say yes to something, so that I can recognize, okay, my pattern, my nervous system's activated. This is my go-to. So I got to slow everything down a little bit so that I can make a clear decision and see what I'm really saying yes to versus if I want to agree to that or if I want to say no. So for me, like the patterns, not only just the mental patterns you engage in, you know, if you're in thought loops or if you're constantly thinking about something, or the behavioral patterns that maybe we engage, you know, we avoid something, so we go to a different behavior, but also just recognizing those spaces for yourself of, you know, how can they be connected? A lot of times, like, we don't dig into something because we think it feels uncomfortable. So look at why it feels uncomfortable. You know, does it feel uncomfortable in your body because it's really something bad that you shouldn't be doing? Or does it feel uncomfortable in your body because it's new and unfamiliar? Those are two different things.
Ooh, That's so good. That's really hard to tell the difference, right? Like,
yes,
our minds are masterful. Ashley, my business partner in Peak Mind, she just has this incredibly, scientific word for it. She's like, it's the ick. Our mind sends us the ick. And I have a perfect example of this. It happened last night. I'm totally one of those people who like runs on razor thin margins. It is not a good thing for me, whatever. Yesterday, I had a very different work day. I had a work day where I met with my entrepreneur group, which felt like this big spacious meeting that was, you know, all about supporting me and others. But like, that's why I go there, is to get support. After that, we did a team building exercise where we went to this place where we threw axes at targets. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we went and did that. And then I had a business development meeting, which it's with a media company. And the front end of that meeting, they actually happened to have a music artist in their studio that day. And they said, hey, do you want to come listen to this music artist? And then we'll have our meeting. That was my entire day. I will be danged if my mind did not manufacture so much ick that I couldn't sleep last night. I was like, I'm behind on my work and I didn't do anything today. And oh my gosh. And I'm sitting there awake at night going, be quiet. Like, we are fine. But it's exactly what you said. It's that behavioral pattern where you feel yucky because you're not used to it.
Mm-hmm. And it's so hard to get out of that too. You know? And this is where too, recognizing like so much we're in our thinking brain and we're overanalyzing things. And that's not a good pattern necessarily either, right? Like, it's great to have thoughts and be analyzing what's happening or to be considering your feelings. But then at what point are those feelings and thoughts running away in your mind and then creating that pattern for yourself?
Yes. Yeah. I actually did an episode on mom guilt about that, where I'm like, I think there's a big piece of mom guilt that is literally just when you take time for yourself, you're doing something different than what your mind is accustomed to. And so it's pissed. Like, there's nothing wrong. Like, whatever. It's just not used to it.
And this is why too, a lot of times it's unfortunate. I'll talk to people and they'll say, well, I tried to relax, but I didn't feel better afterward. Or, you know, that I never feel like I can get there, or that wasn't helpful to me. Then I just felt more stressed. And so rather than not doing that behavior, rather than not relaxing or taking that space for yourself, playing with that discomfort. Okay. Yeah. That did feel uncomfortable to you because your body's not used to it. Mm. That doesn't necessarily mean that there aren't ways that you can get there then. So maybe yoga isn't for you because you're laying on the mat, thinking about things, making your grocery list, running through a to-do list, right? So what are some other activities or things that you could do that maybe would engage you in a different way, so your brain doesn't take off into those spaces?
Yeah.
And so even thinking about, like, this is why, you know, we see all these suggestions of how we can improve. And I get really weird when people want a list or something of like, here's exactly the steps you should do. Yeah. Because I don't think that that's real. I really truly believe that each one of us has to, you know, absorb all these tips and tricks from people, but then we have to take them to our own life and say, okay, how can I apply these? Which ones is going to work for me, given my situation, given my family life or my work life or whatever it is, and really give yourself permission too, to throw away some of the tricks that aren't going to work for you instead of thinking you have to do them all.
That's good. That's really good. You know, we've talked about a lot of important concepts, right? We've talked about boundaries and burnout and our needs and communicating with people and these behavioral habits or routines that we get into. If you have somebody who recognizes now after all of this that they're on that continuum somewhere, maybe they are at that stage of burnout, or maybe it's like, no, hey, I can see where this would lead to that. What are your tips for them to get started, to start backing the truck up and not going down the continuum to the point where this is like past the point of no return?
I mean, I think awareness and understanding of where you're at is so huge, right? So first we have to take the step to acknowledge like what's going on and recognize, okay, I maybe don't feel okay in these areas, or I do have too much pressure over here. And that sounds really easy, but for a lot of people, that's the scariest part. Because they don't want to feel like there's something wrong with them, right? Especially if you're somebody who, you know, maybe looks on the surface like you have it all together, or you have everything going on, or nobody would expect that of you. Then it becomes this really vulnerable space that you don't want to rock somebody else's perceptions of what you are, or who you you are, right? So really being able to have that awareness that, first of all, these are things that everybody feels in different capacities, right? So knowing for yourself that you're not abnormal or whatever it is that you want to say. But so some of the easiest things that we can do to just kind of start recognizing this is, again, paying attention to those behavioral patterns and jotting down. One of the easiest things that I tell people to do, you know, I love to prescribe, if you will, that people should journal. And the looks that I get from people on that, you know, everybody's like, I don't want to journal or I don't have anything to write. When I say journal, I mean, pick up your phone wherever you are and just write notes in it or do an audio note if that's something that feels better to you. And just start to pay attention to these spaces of like, oh, okay, I notice that at 2 p.m. every day, I start to have a slump, or I get really frustrated when I talk about finances or whatever it is, right? Just kind of paying attention to those little nits. And, you know, almost, you're almost like treating yourself like a science project in some ways. You're yourself as data. Okay. So, and again, not even to evaluate it. This is just keep this list, start it, write it down. And then the next day, write a different one. And then after like a week, maybe go back and look at all of them and see if there are any patterns. Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't notice that every day at this time I felt this, or I didn't realize that this happened. Because what that can do, in addition to kind of giving you some insight, is it can help you feel empowered in terms of, oh, then this maybe is a space I can work on and shift or change, or this is something that can be, you know, a different, I can do things in a different way now that I know where I need the help, or where that I know that these are issues that are continually arising for me.
That's really good. That's really great. It's funny because that systematic way of looking at your life is, it can be so clarifying to really help you see spaces where you might be able to make improvements. So like, if you're in this position, if you're listening to this and you're in this position where you're like, I don't even know where to start, that's where to start. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah. And I think, again, like, it doesn't have to be something big and profound. You don't need some journaling prompt or anything like that. I mean, of course, if you do, that's wonderful. But this is more about, not even about your feelings associated with any of the behaviors. It's just more like, what are the behaviors? Because so often, again, when we're like, we were talking about, they're called patterns for a reason. We're doing them without thinking about them, right?
Yeah. So
this is really just getting your brain to wake up a little bit. Oh, this is what's happening to me. Oh, this is, and here's the reality of it. We track so many other things. You know, people will track their exercise, they'll track their water intake, they'll track all of these things, but we don't necessarily really track our feelings or our mental health, you know, state or what have you. So even thinking about it in that capacity, like, just, you're just checking in with yourself every day, seeing if there are spaces that keep coming up for you.
Mm-hmm. So good. This is such an important topic. We could talk for so many hours on this because there's just a lot underneath the surface. But if people want to go deeper, if they want to learn more about you and your work, where can they find you?
Well, it's interesting. We had this conversation because I just created a free guide for people. It's called 30 Ways to Say No Without Guilt.
Woo! We need that. Oh my God, we need that.
Just a list. So that's a PDF people can go grab for free. And it's at www.CassandraLeClaire/guide. And I'd love for people to download that because, again, saying no, it's not easy. It sounds like it should be so easy, but it's difficult for a lot of us. And also, people can find me on social media. I'm on Instagram and LinkedIn at Dr. Cassandra LeClaire, my website. This is such an important aspect for me just to continue to have these conversations. So I'd love to connect with people and just see if there are ways that I can continue to add value and help them.
Amazing. Cassandra, this is so good. And I'll make sure that we link to that guide in the show notes and this episode description on your device. So if you're interested in that, you could just swipe up and click directly in there and get that guide.
Thank you for having me today. It was just so wonderful to just get to talk about all of these things and have this conversation with you.
Oh, amazing. I so appreciate you taking the time. I can tell, like, your background and the work that you do, it's just very important and increasingly important as the days go on. So thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And friends, hang out for one more minute. I have a few other resources, episodes, and things that I want to make you aware of. If this is a topic that is of interest to you, if it is something that you are struggling with, or even somebody in your life might be struggling with, we've got some additional goodies for you coming up. Just hang with me for 1 second. Thank you. All right, friends, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Dr. Cassandra LeClaire. Talk about a topic that is important to dive into. And if you found that there were elements of that conversation that resonated with you and you want to go deeper, I have a few resources for you that sort of springboard off into related topics that you might really find helpful. The first episode is one that I recommend often to people. And this is an episode titled Curate Your Life and Manage Your Energy. It's with a woman named Gail Golden. She wrote this beautiful book called Curating Your Life. And she really takes the position of a museum curator, where she's being very selective about what she says yes to in her life in order to manage her limited energy store. There's a lot that resonates between that conversation and the one that we just had with Dr. LeClaire, because it's all about, hey, we're human beings. We have a finite amount of energy, and what we say yes to is very important because we're dipping into that energy store and using it for some of that. So that conversation is really great with Gail Golden. In particular, if you go listen to it, I want you to listen for a part where she talks about how brutally hard it can be to say no sometimes. Sometimes when we are in this situation of trying to prune away or pull back or take off of our shoulders responsibilities, we can think like, oh man, it's going to feel great to get rid of that. But it isn't. It's hard. And we feel like we're hurting people. We talked about that with Dr. LeClaire. There's a great conversation with Gail Golden in that episode. Again, it's called Curate Your Life and Manage Your Energy. I think you'd really love that one as a springboard from this episode. Second one. We talked a bit about how the way that we set boundaries and the way that we maintain them helps us develop and curate a relationship with ourselves. There is an episode, a whole episode that I did on how to cultivate a relationship with yourself. And these are ways of using things like self-compassion and not breaking your promises with yourself in order to develop some of that self-trust and self-leadership that is pretty much a cornerstone and the bedrock for so many of these other skills that we talk about, including setting boundaries and keeping them and finding out what our needs are, et cetera. So I would highly suggest checking out how to cultivate a relationship with yourself if you are the type of person who is constantly finding yourself in the second place to everyone else in your life. That absolutely cannot be the case. You are important. And the third one, I mentioned this random episode that I did on mom guilt. It's interesting because there are a few cognitive processes that just from knowing these concepts at a deeper level, I think really feed into this idea of mom guilt. So I pulled out things like cognitive dissonance, also some of our mental habits as reasons why our mind sends us, quote unquote, the ick, as Ashley Smith, my partner in Peak Mind, calls it. We talked about this with Dr. LeClaire, like you do something that your mind isn't accustomed to, that it's not familiar with, that it can't predict, and it just sends you anxiety. It just sends you like a big ball of wet cat. It's just the ick. That comes in the form of mom guilt sometimes. So if you're not accustomed to taking that time away, or you're always the person who picks your kids up, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, when you don't do it, you should expect that your mind is going to send you some ick. It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong. It just means that you're doing something different. And that something different is usually pretty necessary. So I want you to check out that episode because it can help put into context the yucky feeling that we feel in our mind when we do things that are out of the ordinary. And it can help you avoid misinterpreting what that might mean. You guys, this was such a great conversation. I had so much fun. Dr. LeClaire, you are phenomenal. I'm so grateful to you for taking some time to be on the show. And finally, let's remember that time is the most non-renewable resource on the planet, and I'm grateful to each and every one of you who chose to spend some of your precious time with me today. I'm Dr. April Seifert, and I will see you next week.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.